Cheyenne held out the bear, which was white with a slightly constipated face. She did a high, squeaky voice. Push that little baby out. I want to meet my friend. Cheyenne was wearing so much perfume, Margot was almost glad when she went to sit in the corner and started playing competitive poker games on her phone. Poker Stars, that was her jam. She chewed gum and played poker all night long, stomping those jokers. That was what Cheyenne always called them, the other players. Jokers. There was a nurse who was rude and made fun of Margot's name choice. Margot named the baby Bodhi, like Bodhisattva, which even her mom thought was stupid. But Cheyenne slapped that nurse right across the jaw, and it caused a whole kerfuffle. It was also the time Margot felt most loved by her mother, and for many years to come, she would replay the memory of that slap and the perfect look of surprise on the nurse's face. But that was after the epidural and the whole night of being rabid dog thirsty, begging for ice chips, and being given a yellow sponge to suck on. Sponges being well known for their ability to quench thirst. What the fuck, Margot said around the sponge in her mouth, which tasted of lemons. It was after all the pushing and pooping on the table, and her OB looking so disgusted as he wiped it away, and Margot shouting, come on, you've seen it all before, and him laughing. You're right, I have, Mama. Now, let's have one more big push. And then, the magic of Bodhi's slippery purple body when they put him on her chest, pressing the towels around him, his eyes pinched shut. She was instantly worried about the scrawniness of him. His legs, in particular, seemed underdeveloped in a tadpole kind of way. He was only 6 pounds, despite the song they had sung to her at work. And she loved him. She loved him so much it made her ears ring. It was only when they released her from the hospital that Margot began to panic. Cheyenne had already missed one shift to be there for the birth. There was no way she could take another day to help Margot home from the hospital. Besides, Cheyenne was technically banned from entering the hospital after slapping that nurse. Margot told her mom that of course she would be fine. But driving out of that parking lot, her baby squalling in the hard plastic cage of his car seat, Margot felt like she was robbing a bank. His cries were so mucousy and frail they made her heart race, and she was shaking the whole 45-minute drive to her place. She parked on the street because their apartment came with only one designated spot. But when she went to take Bodhi out from the back, she found she couldn't understand how the lever that released the car seat from the base worked. She was pressing the button. Was there a second button she was supposed to push simultaneously? She began jiggling the car seat, careful not to shake it too hard. If there was one thing everyone had been clear about, it was never to shake the baby. Bodhi was crying frantically now, and she kept thinking, you do not have the calories to expend this much energy. You are going to die before I even get you upstairs. After 5 minutes of straight panicking, she finally remembered she could just unfasten him. And after fumbling with the freakishly gigantic plastic clasp that went over his chest and pressing the stupid red button of the crotch buckle with the requisite superhuman strength, seriously, she pictured a family of rock climbers used to hanging by their fingertips off cliff sides who then decided to design baby stuff. She freed him. But then she had no idea how she was supposed to carry this tiny, fragile thing and also all her bags. Already, the stitches in her downstairs hurt like crazy, and she regretted deeply the vanity that had made her pack jeans to wear home from the hospital, though let the record show that they did fit. Okay, she said seriously to Bodhi's tiny body, his face red-purple, his eyes shut tight. Now don't move. She set him down on the front passenger seat so she could slip the straps of the diaper bag and her overnight bag over her shoulders, crossed over her tits like bandoliers. Then she snatched up the tiny baby and waddled up the street to the slumped brown buildings of Park Place. They weren't exactly bad apartments, tucked away behind the excitingly named Fuel Up gas station. But compared to the cheerful, whimsically bright 1940s homes that lined the rest of the street, Park Place looked like an uninvited guest. As she climbed the outside stairs to the second level, she was terrified she would spontaneously drop the baby, his little form, like a Cornish game hen, spiraling downward toward the leaf-choked communal swimming pool. Margot went.